Sam Panionovich joins us again. Hey, Sam, you're on WGN. How are you? Or are you? Elif, you said you were going to bring him up, and now I don't see him. I'll go ahead and hit the button. Yeah. Hey, Sam, are you there?
How about that?
You sound better. How are you?
I'm doing well. Actually, before I interned at WGN Radio when I started in 2012, I was a Secretary of State intern in 2010, and I worked under Dave Drucker. How about them apples?
He's a good man. Sure, John, he's a good man.
He certainly is.
This is where you jump in and say, yeah, he was a good man. He was a great guy to work for.
I thought you were going to add more to the equation, but no, I knew that when I worked in government, I didn't want to be in government anymore. It's not for everybody, as you can imagine.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the subject of the day, and that continues to be the Chicago Bears. The headline you gave producer Ella for our conversation today is Bears are in football hell. What are you talking about?
It's true. I mean, it's past the point for me of frustration. I'm not even angry anymore. I'm just more disappointed in their decision-making at the top of the organization. I cannot believe they are bringing back the general manager and the head coach. What confidence have they instilled over the last 3 years that they can take this team to a Super Bowl? That should be the goal. If you're an NFL organization, can this combination of general manager and head coach take you to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl? And to me, the answer is absolutely not. And the problem is when you go 8-8 every single year or close to it, you're not good enough, clearly, to win a championship, but you're also not bad enough to get a franchise-changing player like a Trevor Lawrence or a Justin Fields or Devontae Smith, wide receiver at Alabama. You're in the middle. You're in purgatory. And we talked about this all year, King John. Are they good enough to win in the playoffs? Yeah, you can beat the Vikings and the Jaguars and the Texans down the stretch, which allegedly is a reason that they're bringing everybody back because they finished strong. We talked about what happens when they play the good teams, when you play the Packers or the Saints or the Chiefs or whoever. They were down 21-3 with a minute to go. They were dead in the second quarter. They had no shot to win that game, yeah. And that's the reality. They are not good enough to contend, but they still won't turn the page in the front office. And to me, that's alarming.
I was listening to Ed Obradovich and Dan Hampton and Glenn Kozlowski and Mark Carman the other night, and Adam Hoge, too. Bunch of guys on the radio talking about this team. And Ed was, as you might imagine, just crazy, right? And he said, look, he said, we beat one team this year with a winning record. He said, the Jets won two games this year. The New York Jets won two games all season against winning teams. The Bears won one game against a team with a winning record. That tells you something about our schedule and our team, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And when they play the big boys, for example, we talked about the Saints, that game against the Packers before the playoffs started, they were so outcoached in that game. And Matt Nagy, for some reason, when you have a chance to, you're pretty much playing for the playoffs at that point because the Bears, they needed to win or they needed help with a loss from Arizona. So this is a must-win game. It's 7-7. You're at home. The Packers just fumbled inside their own 20, and in three straight plays, awful play calling to get you to 4th-and-1. This is your season, man. You got to win this game. You got to play to win. He kicks a field goal on 4th-and-1. It was like a 27-yard field goal because you need points with your visor on and your play chart in front of you. Let me see what the math says. The math says you need to win the game, and to beat Aaron Rodgers, you don't need field goals. You need touchdowns. So for them to kick a field goal to go up 10-7, yeah, okay, that's great. And then literally 90 seconds later, Aaron Rodgers goes down the field for a 72-yard touchdown pass. They kicked four field goals in a game they lost by 19. It's just it's loser mentality. You can't coach like a coward, and that guy does.
That's an interesting point. What do you make of keeping Mitch Trubisky as the starting quarterback, or at least as the quarterback?
I don't know if there are better options available. In a perfect world, like if I was the GM of the Bears, I would entertain every possibility to trade for Deshaun Watson, who's the quarterback of the Houston Texans. They didn't draft him. They didn't draft Mahomes, we know. We move on from that. But now you have an opportunity to right a wrong. Mitch Trubisky is not going to win many playoff games, if any. I don't see it. I mean, he hasn't won one yet. They've been in two, the Cody Parkey double doink. They lost that game to the Eagles. It's a 7-point favorite. They should have won, and they didn't. And he was awful against the Saints. He's not going to take them to the promised land. But why wouldn't you get aggressive and at least, you know, try and pick up the phone and see what the Houston Texans want? Because if you bring in Deshaun Watson, who is a dual threat, great passer, good with his legs, seems to be well-liked in the room, that team is a train wreck in Houston, and I don't think he's going to be there all that longer. You have to do your diligence and pick up the phone and make a phone call. I'm not saying trade the farm for Deshaun Watson, but at least see what you have to do to make it a possibility. The problem is this management group and this regime, they are sort of tied to Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
So if Trubisky does well and the Bears make the playoffs, then okay, maybe right. Mitch is okay.
Well, let me ask you this, Sam. Maybe you don't care what the answer is, but is it possible that you get rid of a Mitch Trubisky and then he goes and plays for a team and then he's really good on a better team and then you're kicking yourself because we could have kept him, but now look at that, his team is in the playoffs, this other team that he's on?
It's a very good question. I wonder about this because I think the schematics don't help him. Mitch Trubisky would be at his best in an offense that establishes the run. Right, if you can run the football with success and move the chains and keep the defense honest, that opens up Mitch Trubisky, the runner, and it opens up play action.
Yeah,
play action is where Mitch Trubisky can be a very decent quarterback. But the problem is they pass way more than they run, and they put too much pressure on 10. That's the issue. He's not going to sit back in the pocket and pick teams off. That's never been the case. He needs to be a part of a fluid offense that has a plan to run the football and establish that power run in the trenches. And the Bears, for whatever reason, whether it be personnel, whether it be injuries, whether it be idiotic play calling, they refuse to run the football. They're a pass-first offense with a quarterback that is not an accurate passer. And that's a recipe for disaster. Could the right coach save Mitch Trubisky if he went to the Patriots, if he went, you know, XYZ? Maybe. But I think the combination of everything, play calling, coaching, and quarterback, it clearly isn't working, and they clearly aren't contenders.
And yet they clearly don't get rid of the people in the front office, the coach or who else would you like to see not be working for the Bears?
The general manager, that's where you start. I mean, the decision's rather easy. He's been there 6 years now, 39 wins, 53 losses. They've whiffed on multiple quarterbacks, two head coaching whiffs. They've got one winning season, and they have no playoff wins. Okay. What more do you need to see?
Give me some numbers now. Let's just do this real quick, then we'll take a break and come back with some other topics. But so the Bears, any other numbers? I should know they're out of the playoffs, so we don't need to worry about that. I guess it's too soon to worry about what their over-under is for wins next year. What about the playoffs?
Yeah, we won't have that number. But what I can tell you is that the Bears were who they thought they were, as Denny Green famously said years ago.
They are who we thought they are!
Well, look back at the season win total in Las Vegas said the Bears were an 8-win team. That was the win total. You could either bet over or under. Same number at points bet. 8 wins. That's the number.
Yeah.
They finished 8-8. So they are who we thought they were.
Well, what about the rest of the playoffs? Who are we liking here?
Oh, man. Well, you and I talked about Kansas City back in September. They were 6-1 to win the Super Bowl.
Sam Panayotovich joins us Thursdays at this time to talk about sports and wagering. And sports wagering, a question has poured in on our text line. Hey, John, if the Bears had picked Patrick Mahomes, how many wins would they have had this year?
10, 11, maybe?
Hard to argue with that when you think about certain plays, certain quarters, certain games. Yeah. Of course,
he's the best quarterback in the universe. There's nobody better right now.
I know,
with a better
guys,
future.
And he is not and never will wear a Chicago Bears uniform. So we have to stop that. I mean, I get it. But there's no purpose in that. It's just another thing to be frustrated about. That's a fair question, but I'm done with this Patrick Mahomes thing, okay? Fine. I wish him well. okay, so who do you like in the playoffs?
Well, we were just talking about this. You know, these future markets at PointsBet, they're fluid. I mean, these numbers move throughout the course of a season. And if you look at the numbers on Kansas City right now to win the Super Bowl, I would be lying to you if I said there was value on Kansas City, because in the summer, you're talking about a number of 6-1. So if you bet 10, you'd win 60. If you bet 100, you'd win 600. But right now, if you go to PointsBet and look at the odds on the Chiefs to win the whole thing, it's plus 210. So that number has clearly moved because obviously the field has lessened. There's only X amount of teams left, and we know the Chiefs are really talented. So I think at this point, if you like Kansas City, sure, you can make that bet, but it was a much better bet months ago. So I think the conversation has to move toward, you know, the right team and the right price. And look, Baltimore is hot right now. That's a team that's playing with a lot of juice. They've won five in a row. They've covered six in a row. If you wanted me to give you the best bang for your buck, and that's the whole point of this enchilada that we're trying to grill up here, 750 on the Baltimore Ravens is not a bad pop. 100 to win 750 or 10 to win 75. I think they beat Buffalo, and if that's the case, it's Baltimore against Kansas City for the AFC Championship. I think the Chiefs are the best team in football,
right?
But the market tells you that, and I don't think there's any value on plus 210 on them to win the Super Bowl.
See, that's a new enchilada that we didn't used to grill up. The old enchilada was, who do you think is going to win? And so now Vegas or Sam are saying that the odds are Chiefs are the best team, then the Packers, then the Bills, then New Orleans, then the Ravens, then the Bucks. So there's your six teams, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 there. But if you said, yeah, but what's a good bet? What's the best return on my money? Because I'm risking it. You said you like the Baltimore Ravens. $10 gets you 75.
I just think it's important. It's paramount because we can sit here and I can go, yeah, John, the Chiefs are a great bet. It was a great bet when it was 6-1 or 5-1 or 4-1. It's not a great bet at plus 210 because you are not getting the right price. It'd be like you walking up to a corner or an intersection in Chicago, 95th and Cicero, and one gas station has, you know, $2.50 for a gallon of gas, and the other station has $5 for a gallon. Which one are you going to buy?
I want to go to the cheaper one.
Right. But on this side, you want more money. You want a better return in sports betting. You don't want to make a $10 bet at $2.50. You want to make a $10 bet at 5-1.
Sure. Well, because it's no guarantee you're going to win. And since the upside isn't so great, why risk it? If you're going to risk some money, at least do it where you have a chance for a return, especially if you think that team can cover. They might actually win the dang game. So for those of you, that's Baltimore, says Sam Panionovich. Do we have to talk about the Bulls? What's the point of talking about the Bulls?
Well, because good teams win, but great teams cover. And if you're looking at the list of all the teams in the NBA, guess who the best team against the spread is in all the land? The Chicago Bulls. They have covered 8 of their 11 games this year. So they may not be winning. If you pull up your paper and flip it open to the standings, the Bulls aren't in first place. But the Bulls have been the best team to bet on in the entire NBA this year. 8-3 against the spread. That is 73%. And you can get a lot of things done if you're picking 73% winners, that's for sure.
Do you think that will continue?
Eventually, the books will they'll sort of shade the line. So, you know, people will eventually catch on to this, and maybe people listening to your program will. So now, if the Bulls make me money more times than not, the bookmakers, rather than make them an 8-point underdog, maybe they only make them a 6-point underdog or a 5.5-point underdog. Because, as you know, the books are always going to make their adjustments because they have to catch up.
Right.
This number is not going to continue at 73%. They're not going to cover 18 out of 21. But I still think coaching makes a difference. And it's clear, with Fred Hoiberg long gone and Jim Boylan out of the equation, this is a much better coached basketball team. Billy Donovan knows what he's doing. There's a pedigree there. His players develop. His players get better. And that's a team that has fought in a lot of these games. Like I said, they're not the best team win-loss, but they're the best cover team in the league, which tells me that they're in every game and they're getting better. Believe it or not, the Chicago Bulls are getting better. And that's actually, you know, a little surprising for many people, I'm sure, in your audience.
That's an interesting metric. And that's good for the bettors, but I mean, that's not really good for the organization. The coach can't go back to the owners and go, listen, I know we're losing a lot of games, but we're covering. So at least the bettors are making money. I mean, they go, yeah, but that's not how it goes, dude. We'd rather win games and not cover than cover games and not win. Am I right about that, or am I right about that?
You are definitely right about that. I don't think Jerry Reinsdorf and Michael Reinsdorf are going, well, he covers a lot.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's important to think about this. I saw a stat the other day. I was watching Wisconsin play Michigan in college basketball. The starting lineup at Wisconsin is older than the starting lineup for the Chicago Bulls. Think about that.
I've seen when Zach LaVine was playing with Wiggins and Big Cat and some of those guys in Minnesota, that was the case for the University of Minnesota. The University of Minnesota's basketball team had an older average starting age than the Minnesota Timberwolves. And the Bulls are in the same situation, you say?
Patrick Williams is 19. Kobe White is 20. Wendell Carter is 21.
Wow.
Lauri Markkanen's 23, and Zach LaVine is sort of one of the elder statesmen at 25.
That's a very
young roster.
And Markkanen is only 23?
I know, and you're ready to get rid of him.
I am. I'm very frustrated with his development. I need to move on. The Blackhawks gave up 3 goals in the first period. That's discouraging.
No Jonathan Toews out there either. He's not going to be a part of the equation for a while, and this team is not great in net. And this is going to be an issue all season. They do have, PointsBet has first period totals. They put a number on the actual full first period. How many goals? And the number last night was 1.5. Clearly, it went over. I would be paying close attention to this, and I'm going to track this for purposes of your show. If they play 56 games this year, I think they're going to go over in the first period, I don't know, 35 or 40 times. That's going to be a play on for the first period over with Chicago, because they're going to give up a lot of chances, and eventually their offense will figure it out. They're going to get some of their players back. But defensively, that team is going to be in trouble a lot of nights, a lot of good chances. That final score last night, 5-1.
I know. Not great. All right, I got 90 seconds left and 3 things to cover. PointsBet is also offering a Blackhawks on-the-house booster tomorrow. They're spotting you 15 goals against the Lightning. That's not a comment on the Blackhawks. That's a comment on they want you to sign up. Fair enough. Big bet of the week. What did you notice?
2 people bet $500,000 on the Ohio State money line. At plus 260 and plus 270. Pretty nice return on investment if they were to win. Problem is, the guys that bet $500,000 were on the wrong side of history. Alabama 52, Ohio State 24. Not even close.
Was that a fun game? I didn't watch it. I was looking forward to it. I thought you were going to see a lot of points scored. You did, especially on the Alabama side. Was that a fun game?
It was an explosive game for one side. It was fun until half, and then it was over. But we had Alabama minus the 8, and it was a good result for me, that's for sure.
20 seconds left. Who do you pick this week for us, Sam?
Yeah, 12-7, 12 wins, 7 losses. Got to keep it accountable. Yeah. But I like the Saints minus the 3. I think that's a much better football team. And if I hear one more person say the Buccaneers can't lose 3 times in one season to the Saints, I'll like it even more. I like New Orleans minus the 3.
Nice to talk to you, my friend. Stay well, stay warm, and let's visit again next week.
I miss you, buddy. I'll see you soon.
Yeah, it's Sam Panionovich. He's on the road, can you tell?